2 o'clock straight up. It's the Carton Show with Big Mac. Great to have you here as always. Phone number to join, 888-808-1019. Going to be an abbreviated version of the Carton Show as we get ready for the red-hot New York Yankees. And not even debatable, the best pitching staff in the sport of baseball.
Well, what would make you say that? The 3 runs in 5 games?
Bang! Woo-hoo! Mets are delayed today. I will give you an update on the Mets' first pitch. Obviously, they were supposed to start about 45 minutes ago, so they're in a rain delay right now in St. Louis, trying to win a back-to-back series after yesterday's debacle, where they had like a hit or a couple hits and got shut out. Yankees about to play against Seattle. So all good afternoon baseball. Good afternoon, Big Mac. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Craig. I am doing well.
Well, let's just put it out there. People said on paper it's going to be the best pitching staff in baseball, and I know it's only 5 games. It's the best pitching staff in baseball.
Yeah.
The New York Yankees are going to win 110 games if their pitching staff pitches the way they pitched.
Everybody wants to be a shill now. I love it.
Pretty impressive, though.
In all seriousness, I don't know if anyone expected the entire pitching staff, because the bullpen, and look, it's been unbelievable. I still have my concerns about the bullpen. But what we thought we could get from the starting rotation, you have seen. Max Fried was an absolute beast last night. Cam Schlittler, who's going today, looks like a legitimate top of the rotation pitcher, at least with top of the rotation stuff.
Yeah.
And what the bullpen has done so far has been remarkable. And now I don't want to hear that it's the San Francisco Giants. This last lineup that has scored 2 runs in these 2 games is the Seattle Mariners, right? This is what is perceived to be the best team in the American League, with the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees, a team that was in the ALCS last year with bona fide superstars in the middle of that lineup. And the Yankees have gone through them like a hot knife through butter, and Max Fried last night was absolutely dominant.
Yep.
Dominant. So, listen, so far the starting pitching, and this is without Cole and without Rodon, who's got a little bit of a hamstring issue.
I
wouldn't be surprised if now we don't see him for a month longer than we thought. You might not see him till June along with Cole, but right now you don't mind with the way they're throwing. And again, it's one time through the rotation here, but man, oh man, do they look great. The bullpen looks great.
Yeah.
They have gotten off to an incredible start pitching-wise. It's like the first team since 1900. It's like the 1940 Cleveland Indians, and this New York Yankee team to hold this many lack of hits and this many few runs in the first 5 games. It's been unbelievably good.
My favorite team to reminisce about, the 1940 Indians.
Everyone remembers those. Yeah, Indians bunch.
Pete and I were just talking about them.
Bob
it's so
Feller.
Funny you bring that up. On Monday, Pete and I had a full 30-minute conversation about the 1940 Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ray Chapman and Bob Feller and Kenny Lofton and all those
But that's
players.
How good they've been.
It's been awesome. It's been impressive.
It's been awesome, and it's, you know, with Judge doing absolutely nothing. He looks terrible at the plate. He's in a complete funk. And Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, well, let me bring him up to you, because I want to get your take on this. If you missed the announcement, it is official. Despite the fact that Giancarlo Stanton has had multiple hits in every single game so far this year and is batting .500, Giancarlo Stanton will not be in the lineup today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's 2 trains of thought on that. The dude's hot. He's in the zone, all right? Not even with home runs. He's just putting the bat on the ball, hitting it 130 miles per hour, and getting on base, right?
No, he's gotten some luck.
So one train of thought is, you don't mess with the baseball gods. The dude's in a zone. Let him go 0-5 and then sit him down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why would you sit down your hottest hitter? The flip side is, this is a guy that's going to have to be sat down because he has not played a full season in a very long time. And you know he's going to get hurt at some point this year, because that's what he does. So I'm wondering for you, Mr. Yankee, are you of the thought, man, this is not the time to sit Giancarlo Stanton? Or are you of the thought, hey, 5 games, double-digit hits, this is a perfect time to sit Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, well, it's certainly not a perfect time. I think you understand that Giancarlo's not going to play every day. We knew that going in. And I don't expect them to buck the trend every time he's hot. Like, you need to give him some days off. I think that's understood by most Yankee fans. I'm sure there are many Yankee fans.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
They're off tomorrow.
All right,
then they come back home Friday for the home opener against the Marlins, right?
Yes.
So if you have a built-in off day,
so
he gets his rest, why would you sit the hottest hitter in baseball?
Because he's Giancarlo Stanton, and we all expect him to get healthy, and this is the plan.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not totally disagreeing with you. You could put him in there. I don't think it's anything to get upset about. We understood going in. This isn't like an everyday player. Like, it's not like Ben Rice, or it's not, you know, Jazz. If Jazz was on fire and suddenly Jazz gets a day off, you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
You knew, we all knew, this would be the plan going in. He wouldn't play six games in a row. He probably wouldn't have, you know, 10 games in a row. Are they going to look for days to get him off his feet? They're going to look to get other guys in? Like, I would think we understood this is the plan, and even though he's performing, they're going to stick to the plan they have with Giancarlo because they need him to perform long-term all season long. And having said that, I don't know if you've seen him. He looks healthier than ever. That's the other aspect of it.
Yeah, now, he again, looks good.
I'm not making much of it, but if you watch the games...
I thought he looked good last year physically, too, to be honest.
Not running like this. Have
no,
you seen him on
the
bases?
Not running. That's fair. I mean, like, physique-wise.
Oh, no. Physique-wise, yeah. Absolutely. He's always looked great. And he's toned it down a little bit the last couple of years. He's lost some weight and lost some muscle mass, should I say, rather. But no, watching him play early on this season, and I don't know what to make of it yet because I don't even know if I like it because I'm concerned he's going to get hurt.
You don't want him digging out for a double.
But, yeah, I mean... You saw it in the first series. He scored from second on a base hit that I never even thought he would attempt going home on.
Right.
And he scored standing up. Last night, or two nights ago, he gets thrown out at second base. But he attempts to leg out a double on a pop-up.
Right.
And then and then yesterday, he takes the extra base on a ball that barely gets away from Kyle Raleigh. He never even makes those plays, never attempts them.
Well, you're right.
So, I mean, I think he's feeling good. I think he's feeling healthy. He's running a hell of a lot better. And he's swinging the bat as well as we have seen him. Like I said it last year, from the second half when he came back last year, and now it's continued on through these five games, albeit five games, we have seen more consistent at-bats, consistently good at-bats without the flailing swings and without the awful at-bats where you're like, good God, what is Stanton even doing? We haven't seen those at-bats all that much over his last 100 games or so. Like, he has really been in a really good spot.
He's in his zone.
He looks
great.
Which
is why I'm thinking with an off day tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he's making a terrible decision, but, you know, he's hotter than a pistol right now.
Yeah.
And I think with a guaranteed day off tomorrow anyway, and then a weaker Marlins team that's coming into town, although I know the Marlins started off 3-0 this year, I would say play the hot hand. Like, he's not playing the field, right?
Correct.
Just DHing. And I would say, again,
I get it.
I'm not as big a diehard Yankee fan as you are, but I don't think you mess around with it, man.
I think it's totally
He's the
fair.
Hottest hitter in baseball. Multiple hits in every game this year.
Yeah.
He's playing great. He's getting clutch hits as well. He's moving around the bases, like you said, like a gazelle compared to what we've seen of him in the last couple years.
For him,
right? Like, he doesn't have that piano on his back that we've seen a lot of, where he doesn't take an extra base and, you know, a deep fly ball into the gaps, only a single. Now that's an extra base hit. Now you can score from second base, and we don't have to think maybe in earlier innings, you know, in a tight game, well, I got to pinch run for him because a single doesn't score him, right?
Yeah.
I would play him today. I would play the hot hand.
I think it's fair. I don't think it's unfair. I think he's hot right now. You do have multiple days off, especially at the start of the season with all these days off for the weather and opening days and stuff. But look, now you've got a guy on the bench to input into the game at any point.
Yeah,
and you know you got a bunch of left-handed hitters on this team. At any moment, they go to a high leverage left-handed reliever late in this game. At any point towards the middle back end of the lineup, you're going to have Giancarlo Stanton there sitting to hopefully impact this game. But I do get it. But I don't think we can complain about sticking to the plan with Giancarlo considering his injury history.
No, that's fair. And look, I think Aaron Boone knew this was going to happen today. Like, they knew before yesterday's game, regardless of what he did yesterday, he was planned to not play today. So I'm sure he knew that as well.
Yeah, it was the plan.
So it's not like he's waking up today going, what do you mean I'm not playing? I'm batting 500.
They knew before the series, they knew before the series started that they were going to bench him today.
So that's that. The Mets, of course, get shut out yesterday. I think the positive story from there is Kodai Senga looked good.
No doubt.
Six innings, four hits, only two runs, struck nine out. Velocity was there. So I think if you're a Mets fan, I know you're upset that you lost to the Cardinals and your offense is embarrassingly bad right now. But the thing you were, I think, more worried about was Kodai Senga, and I thought he pitched great yesterday.
Yeah, no, I think that's the main takeaway from the game. Yes, the offense is struggling, no doubt. They have not hit and run as a scoring position, and that's what they've been like told to do. That's what we foresaw this team being. We saw an opening day. Haven't really seen it at all since. They've been bad. You know, Bichette with a bad base running play to get picked off at first base, right, in a big inning where they were unable to score with two runners on and nobody out. But there is no doubt, despite the frustration of the offense, despite Lou Bob having a couple of misplays,
playing like a Pittsburgh
field,
Pirate.
Yeah, he took a bad. He took a,
you like
he was playing
that?
A little bit like
O'Neal. That's
O'Neal
a callback,
yeah,
is what that is. You like that?
And who says he doesn't know baseball?
Yeah,
but I don't think there's any question. Kodai Senga is going to be huge for this team. And the takeaway from yesterday should absolutely be, despite the loss, that Kodai Senga looked like himself. That, yep, is the biggest takeaway from this game, and it's going to be what impacts them the most moving forward.
And then the third thing for you today, I know it's not a baseball thing, but I have to bring it up because as a basketball fan, it's insulting to my intelligence as a basketball fan. They announced the Hall of Fame class for 2026. And while congratulations to all the people that got in, and I'm not one of these guys that's like, I can't believe he got in, or I don't have any anger about it, I don't lose any sleep over it. This is by far the weakest and worst basketball Hall of Fame class in the history of the bouncing ball. Because Amari Stoudemire is not a Hall of Famer. Here's a guy that made, I think, five All-Star teams in his, yeah, entire career. All right, Amari Stoudemire. And the 7 second or less Suns back in the day with Steve Nash, right?
I mean, yeah.
Very good player.
They had an impact on how the game of basketball
Not a Hall of Fame player.
No, yeah.
That's number one. Number two, Doc Rivers, a Hall of Fame coach. Doc Rivers, the guy that's blown more 3-1 series leads in the history of basketball, who never got the Sixers past the second round, who is a joke other than the 2008 NBA championship,
he does have a
in
championship,
which he had three Hall of Famers in a starting lineup. That's what got him into the Hall of Fame. Doc Rivers is a compiler. Doc Rivers, I know he's sixth all-time in wins as a coach.
Yeah.
L.A. Clippers. How much success did he have out there? Never went to an NBA final. 3 years in Philadelphia. How much success there? Never got out of the second round in Philadelphia. And, of course, Boston went two NBA final appearances. He won one in 08, lost in game 7 to the Lakers in 2010. Doc Rivers being in the Hall of Fame means that everybody gets into the Hall of Fame. And they've now watered down the Hall of Fame. Mark Few got in from Gonzaga. How many championships does he have? Oh, that's right. None. Candace Parker got in. And some gal I never heard of. So congratulations to all five of you. But none of you belong in the Hall of Fame.
Not excited?
And I can't speak as much about Candace Parker, the other gal, because
I don't care
about women's basketball.
Yeah,
I obviously know the name Candace Parker.
And that,
so maybe that alone means she's worthy of the Hall of Fame.
It's hard to argue against it. That
but
she's a
Doc Rivers
name
in the Hall of Fame?
Basketball. Yeah.
Doc Rivers?
He was played by Lawrence Fishburne in a TV movie.
That Doc is, Rivers?
Yeah. I mean,
and Amari Stoudemire? And look, I loved when Amari Stoudemire became a Knick, because that got us Carmelo Anthony. But Amari Stoudemire, one of the greatest players of all time, he's not in the 75th anniversary squad.
No.
He's not on that list, right?
No. He's not a Hall of Famer. Now, look, in his prime, for those couple years along with Nash, not only was he a great player, but you could argue that offense, that team, helped shape the way NBA basketball played from that moment on?
I don't think so. The NBA game today doesn't look anything like that at all.
What?
And it was him, Sean Marion, and Steve Nash.
The amount of shots, how fast the offense was, how many shots they put up in a game.
It's like a body blow to guys like me that love NBA basketball. And the whole thing should be embarrassed by this year's selections. Absolutely embarrassed.
It's not a
that these
collection.
Are the people that got in. It's the worst and weakest class in the history of the Hall of Fame.
What about in professional sports?
In professional sports, it's the worst and weakest class in the history of organized sports.
So Doc Rivers,
it's an embarrassment.
Doc Rivers gets in. Bill Belichick, not good enough.
Right. Great point there, Big Mac. Look at you. Yeah. Bill Belichick, not a Hall of Famer. Doc Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Like, honestly. I need an edible. I'm so upset by it, too. And yet, for each individual, congratulations.
Well, of course.
I know you're very happy. You should be. Your families get to enjoy the moment. It'll be a great day for you when you get inducted. And I don't take any of that away from you. But let's call a spade. You have just watered down the Hall of Fame. And I know there's been a trend in every sport that we're now watering down the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And we're putting guys in because, you know, we feel bad for them 40 years later. The Hall of Fame is supposed to be a building that honors the greats of the game, right? Doc Rivers is not a great coach in the history of the NBA. Amari Stoudemire is not considered one of the great players to ever play basketball. And I know it's a cumulative thing. Yeah. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield. And Amari Stoudemire doesn't even get credit for that. You know why? He didn't play college basketball.
Say, he's the high school, right?
So his entire career is based on what he did in the pros, and it stunk.
He was the only guy. He was the first guy willing to come and take on the challenge of being a Knick, though.
And I give him a lot of credit for that.
We love him for that. I think we should. I think as Knick fans, we should love him for that. He was willing to come here. He wanted to embrace it when really no one else did.
No Amari, no Carmelo. I know we traded for Carmelo, but I firmly believe that.
Yep.
Sing it again.
Staten Mello.
Yeah, I just want the dancer. Anyhow, I'm in a great mood today. He's in a great mood today. We got Yankee baseball coming up in about an hour and a half. We got the Mets and Cardinals just getting underway as well. We got the Hall of Fame. We got a bunch of other crap coming your way as well. The phone number to join is always 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show with Big Mac coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And listen, if you're tired of dealing with neck pain, backaches, even sciatica, stop messing around. Go see my guys at Samuel Institute for Pain Management. That's Dr. Shah, Dr. Cohen, Dr. C. DePara. Offices in Colonia, Englewood, and Livingston. And here's the best part. They focus on non-opioid, minimally invasive, non-surgical treatments, real solutions that can actually get you back to feeling like yourself again. Don't just take my word for it. Thousands of five-star reviews trust Samwell. So turn to Samwell Pain for relief. That's SamwellPain.com. SamwellPain.com.
Fanatics Fest, the world's number one sports fan festival, returns to the Javits Center in New York City from July 16th to the 19th. See top athletes and now just announced former Met and Yankee greats Mike Piazza, Jorge Posada, David Wright, Mariano Rivera, Keith Hernandez, Don Mattingly, Daryl Strawberry, and Andy Pettitte and Jose Reyes. Live panels, autographs, photo ops, rare trading cards, and memorabilia, plus exclusive merch drops that you can only get at Fanatics Fest. This is the ultimate weekend where sports and culture collide. Tickets are on sale now. Grab yours at fanaticsfest.com. This portion of the program is sponsored by JAG Physical Therapy. JAG Physical Therapy proudly announces their new location in Belleville. Located at 63 Washington Avenue, the new location provides a wide range of physical and occupational therapy services and in-network with most major insurances. Learn more or schedule an appointment at jagpt.com and sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything. March matchups are down to the four. Trade the tournament with Kalshi. Arizona and Michigan are trading at 34% to cut down the nets. A $100 trade pays $273 if either one wins at all. Download the Kalshi app. Use code FAN to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi, trade on anything.